You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
At times, it's just plain human stubbornness not to ask a question when you don't understand.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear the good news you have given the world in your Son, Jesus Christ. Along with a healthy respect for you, give us faith that you love us with a faithful and unfailing love, big enough to forgive our sins and strong enough to sustain us amid the difficulties of life. On the day of our death, by your grace, open to us the doors of your heaven and invite us to enjoy the life you have prepared for those who love you. We pray to you in the saving name of your Son, Jesus, who encourages us to ask with the assurance that you will hear us. Amen. On one occasion, St. Mark tells us, the disciples of Jesus Christ did not understand the word that he had spoken to them, and they were afraid to ask him. Has it ever happened to you that the speaker made a statement that was not clear to you? You did not understand, but you did not ask for an explanation. Why not? Maybe the occasion was not right. You did not want to interrupt. Or you did not want to ask a question in which nobody else was interested. You assumed that everybody else understood, and all the rest might think, what a dumb question to ask. People are afraid to ask questions, because it might show up how ignorant they are. The disciples of Jesus did not understand his word, and they were afraid to ask him. At times, it's just plain human stubbornness not to ask a question when you don't understand. That's why people drive for miles and miles and miles, knowing that they are on the wrong track, but refusing to get out and ask somebody for directions. They're going to find out their own way, no matter what. I know of people who are very ill with cancer. The whole family knows they have cancer. The doctor is treating them for cancer. Never once do they ask, do I have cancer? In some of those cases, people are afraid to ask. Others are afraid to break the bad news to them, for fear that they will shake the fragile hold people have upon their emotions, their sanity, and even their life. You may know people who are having a lot of trouble. You do not understand exactly what they're going through, but you're afraid to ask, how are you? Is there anything I can do? People are afraid of being overwhelmed by the troubles of others. After all, most of us have troubles enough of our own to worry about. The disciples of Jesus did not understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. It is a great comfort to know that these men had the same problems we have. It is also true that they were not so much interested in telling us about themselves as about him. This little statement by St. Mark tells us something about Jesus Christ. He was not the mild-mannered dreamer that some people make him out to be. He was not the hail fellow well met that others make him out to be. He was not the kind of religionist that goes around telling people to be good and everything will be all right. He suffered and died for the sins of the world, but he was not the doormat of the world. Nobody brushes off his feet on Jesus Christ. His men did not understand what he said, and they were afraid to ask him. As you might have guessed, they were also afraid to ask him because of what he said. Going away from there, he went through Galilee and did not want anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and saying to them, "The Son of Man will be handed over into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he has died, 3 days later, he will be raised again from the dead." They did not understand this statement, and they were afraid to ask him. If they were surprised, the men who had left all to follow Jesus did not show it too much. They did not crowd around him asking questions about what he meant. Maybe they were not surprised too much, but they were certainly shocked. His word about suffering and dying made a shambles of all their plans. They had other ideas about what the future was going to be like. As we know by the accounts of all the evangelists, they were just like us. They had ambitions. They had dreamed up all kinds of hopes of what life would be like when this man to whom they had attached themselves would come into his kingdom. Their plans did not include anything like this, handed over and being killed, even though he said that after 3 days he would rise again from the dead. That kind of talk is kind of hard to understand. They did not understand it, and they were afraid to ask him. You might wonder what he thought when they asked him not a single question about this remarkable statement. But this is what he did. He went right on with them to Capernaum on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee. When they got to his own house, he asked them several times, "What were you arguing about there on the road?" None of them would tell him, for they had been arguing among themselves about who was the greatest. You have to admire the composure, the patience, the majestic kindness of the Son of God, that he did not rip them up and down, because it was perfectly obvious what they were talking about. It certainly was obvious to him, because he knew their thoughts. Jesus sat down and called the 12 to sit down around him. He said to them, "If one of you wishes to be first, he will be the last of all and the servant of all." Then he took a child and made him stand in front of them. He put his arms around that child and said to them, "The person who in my name welcomes one of these children welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not only me, but also the one who sent me." The majesty of his action and of what he said is matched only by his kindness. It tells us something about him. It tells us a great deal about him. We have to take him as he is. The great God sent his eternal Son to be the Savior of the world. He does command the respect of everyone. At the same time, he offers himself without reservation to everyone, all unselfishly, without a thought for himself, not parading his pride, but opening up his soul, not looking out for himself, but unsparingly putting himself in the place of everyone. That is the Son of Man who the prophet said would come to die in disgrace and to be raised from the dead in glory. He is the one. "Are you the one, or do we look for another?" people asked. They still ask that question today. "Yes," he said, "I'm the one. The Son of Man will be handed over into the hands of people, and they will kill him. After he has died, 3 days later, he will rise again from the dead." This has happened. It has really happened. And people are still afraid to believe. Still afraid to ask. If Jesus could travel with and put up with 12 men day in and day out for a good 3 years with all of their quirks that are so characteristically human, he probably can put up with you and me. The 3 years were really alive, unrehearsed, and filled with an unpredictable set of occurrences. not a smoothly orchestrated show arranged to create an image for the benefit of someone who is trying to put something over on the world. What he said and did was just as real as what we say and do today. He is one of us, and he will always be one of us. As his people discovered in crucifixion and resurrection, he is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. There are many things that all of us do not understand about God. People who are closest to God are the first to admit that they do not understand everything about God. The closer you get to God, the more you begin to think and talk like the poet of the Psalms. How long, O Lord, will you wait to help me? Why are you so far away, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself when we are in trouble? Why have you forgotten me? How much longer will you forget, Lord? Forever? Rouse yourself and help me. The hidden God who commands the respect of people will not hold still for the cheap little things that people sometimes say about him. He is God. Even his Son felt compelled to say on his cross, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" There was no rebellion in the heart of his Son when he said that. Just that desolation that is so much a part of our humanity. There are those moments when you wonder, even in all obedience and faith, why God does not show his hand in a way that everyone will understand. This is something we all have to understand about God. He does not do things in our way. We might think that we have a better way, but he always has his way. Finally, his ultimate declaration is in his Son, Jesus Christ. What a statement the great God has given to the whole world in his Son, Jesus Christ. God, who spoke in times past to our fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken his ultimate word to the world in his own Son, who, when he had by himself purged our sins, was set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That is what Jesus was telling his disciples. The Son of Man will be handed over and be killed, and after having died, he will rise again on the third day. We often misunderstand. So did they. We are often afraid to ask. So were they. After his resurrection from the dead, they began to understand. They have told us his story. We have their witness that he is Lord. Affectionately and out of respect, they called him Lord. The Lordship of Christ is the secret of a healthy and a happy life. It's the secret of suffering and sorrow. It's also the secret of grace and glory. It is the life in Christ to know him, to trust him, and to have confidence in his good and gracious will. It is having love and being willing to love, even as God has loved you and given his Son to die for you, raising him from the dead in great glory to be the Lord of your life. Of course, we can always act like children. We can be like the two-year-old telling another two-year-old, "Do you know what my mother expects me to do? She wants me to eat green vegetables." The other two-year-old answers, "I guess your mother just doesn't like you." Jesus said in all kindness, "That's the blind leading the blind. Blind people know what they can do and what they can't do. I've known some of them who see a lot better than others who would not call themselves blind. The life of Christ illuminates life, even for those whose hearts have been blind." The disciples did not understand him, and they were afraid to ask. They were afraid of what he said, and they were afraid of what he would say. People in trouble are afraid of what they face and afraid of what they will find. People are afraid that they will disclose their ignorance or disclose their pretenses for all to see. You can ask the Lord, my friend. He knows all about you anyway. He's patient with you. He feels with you. He died for you quite openly. He knew what people would think, but he died anyway. In all obedience to his Father, he died for your sins, as only he could. He forgives your sins as only he can. He gives you life as only he can give. You don't have to be afraid of him. Respect him with all your heart, but you don't have to be afraid of him. Ask and you will receive, said Jesus Christ. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he said, he will give it to you. It will come to you in the best form you can possibly imagine, a lot better than you could have ever planned for yourself. He takes everything, including death, and turns it into life. After all, Christ, the Son of God, himself died, and he knows how it is. To let us know about him, St. Mark told us how it was with them. They did not understand his word, and they were afraid to ask him. It is a confused world, and things do go wrong. Never mind. Christ knows what he is doing. He calls you to be with him. He summons you to go with him. In his kindness, his patience, his deep understanding of you, the Lord Jesus Christ commands you to believe in him. His command is his assurance, his personal assurance, that all will be well with you. He is Lord, and that is mighty good news. He died for you, and he is Lord for you. That's mighty good news. Whoever receives him, he said, receives the mighty God who sent him into this confused and aimless world. That is mighty good news. A little boy looked up at the Lord and trusted him. The Lord said, whoever receives one of such little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not only me, but the one who has sent me. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Whoever has eyes to see, let him see. Whoever has fear, let him also have faith. Faith in the Son of God. Faith not afraid to ask, and faith ready to receive what the great God has to give. Even life that is eternal. Amen.